Shalom, thank you for joining me this week. We're going to be doing some archive sermons because I am actually, don't tell anybody, escaping to a vacation. So please sit back and enjoy. This is an archive sermon that I thought would be most appropriate at this time of our cycle because we have elections coming up and the Iowa primaries are just around the corner. But I want to have a discussion with you about not just leadership, but how do we actually define Jewish leadership? Thank you for joining me, and shalom. Shalom, and thank you for joining me. So, when we look at people who lead congregations, they allow holy places for our spirits to be nurtured and to grow. Yet as we go into texts about leadership and the accounts in the Torah and Haftarah, we don't always find that people in positions of leadership had it so easy. To quote Peter Drucker, leadership is a foul weather job. Or as some people like to complain, I always compare it for the bad weather. But you know, when the sun's shining, nobody ever says anything. Well, foul weather, well, not exactly. And not all the time. But to be a leader is to live in a tension. This tension is found in the value concept of Gemilut Chasidim on one side, and the common abbreviation for a congregation, the Kuf or Kehila Kiddusha on the other side. We often assume that most congregations are Kiddusha, holy, or Kadosh. Yet I think that synagogue leadership is about being the threads that weave together the congregation with God's sacred purpose to do the work in our community that makes for God's differences in our world. If Tikkun Olam is about repairing the world, leadership is about being the needle and thread that hold the pieces of this world together. So I would like to share with you some thoughts on this topic of leadership. They are not meant to convince. Some may make you laugh, and if they make you and those who are around you think about the sacred challenge of leadership, then this sermon will have done its job. Being in leadership is, well, it may seem obvious, it's about leading. Yet leading has some disparate archetypes that might confuse us. There is the vision of Napoleon, who essentially sat back and watched the battle from afar. His mode of leading was basically, hey you, get in there between me and the bullet or cannon. Then there's the leadership of Jonathan Netanyahu, Zichrono Levracha, the late brother of Benjamin, who led the commando raid at Entebbe. The motto of the Israeli army is not forward march, but follow me. This means that the best trained, smartest, and most accomplished of the Israeli army leads by getting others to follow them. You can guess which style of leadership is more inspiring. It reminds me of a story of a farmer who owned a mule, and that was his only good plowing animal. The mule became ill, and the farmer took his prized animal to the local veterinarian. The vet gave the farmer some pills to take, but the pills were extremely large, and the farmer could not figure out how he could get the mule to swallow the pill. Easy, replied the vet. Find a piece of pipe wide enough to fit the pill into. Then put one end of the pipe in the mule's mouth and put the pill in the pipe. And then blow on the other end. Before the mule knows what has happened, he swallowed the pill. It sounded easy enough, but just a few hours later, the farmer appeared in the veterinarian's office, looking terribly sick himself. "You look awful." "What happened?" the vet asked. The farmer replied, "The mule blew first." With all the technical know-how that we might have, computers, paradigms, ideas, philosophies, etc., leaders must run the risk of initiating action. I say risk, since there is invariably some criticism for doing almost anything in the spotlight. It is like the Olympics during the Cold War. No matter how many 8s, 9s, and 10s you get, that East German judge was always waiting there with a 5.4, just for you. Perhaps this is why Rabbi Yochanan is reported to have said, "Woe to those in positions of communal leadership, for the job buries those who take on the position. We see that every prophet outlived four kings." From Talmud Pesachim 87b. Now, don't you just want to be a leader? But seriously, I think that something is not mentioned here, and that is the role of the prophet. Prophetic leadership was about more than just counting the people and running the treasury and fighting the wars. It also had a large component of spiritual struggle to walk with God and inviting others to join the path. The prophet tried to balance the kehillah, the community, with the kiddushah, the holy. And this allowed him to have a good and solid balance. Much to the shock of the Jerusalem Talmud, we read in Berachot 1:6 that even though Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah assumed a position of distinguished leadership in the community, nevertheless, he had a long life. Perhaps this is trying to teach us a lesson. Truly sacred leadership is about combining the affairs of the community with the mitzvot of God. When this happens, the work of leadership takes on a new aspect that keeps us healthy and balanced. Leaders need to find and know their balance. Sometimes there is the temptation to be a leader and lose some of this balance. There is a story of two disillusioned college presidents who were discussing what they'd do if they had their lives to do over again. One said, "I'd like to run an orphanage with no parents to contend with." The other said, "I'd rather run a penitentiary with no alumni pressure groups." Getting back to that balance, it is not just a balancing act of the community and the sacred. It is also about balancing generations and trying to get everyone to understand that the congregation is not just made up of their demographic group. We cannot turn a congregation into some version of Jumping Joe's. For those of you with kids over 10 to 12, it is an indoor exercise place for kids. So that it speaks to only one demographic group. Neither can we go back to the Reformed Judaism of days gone by, no matter how high and holy we thought it was with the vaunted Union Prayer Book. We have to live in the now of making Judaism today, remembering the past and planning for the future that we cannot see. Again, balance. But this time between the generations and the different ages, who come to our congregations to find the nurturing and spiritual sources of Judaism. Finally, there is the issue of being leadership and understanding the role of lay leadership. It is true that great congregations are made of great rabbis and staff, and they must also have great lay leaders and great congregants. The task is remembering that every president of a college does have alumni and parents whom she or he must answer. The conversations that we have for the sake of the community allow the community to be connected and feel that connection. Ultimately, it is the sacred bridges that we build with others that creates the sacred passages that weave through our lives. And being a leader is being in charge of more than just using these bridges. It means we construct them. At times we must envision them. And then there's the job of maintaining them. Someone far wiser than I once put it this way. Leadership is not about slaying the dragons. It is about tending the flock. It is about being the responsible one and knowing how to use that responsibility for the good of the community. Let us return to those two kufs, the Kehila Kedusha. Often, these two Hebrew letters, the two kufs, are joined together by a chipchuk. A chipchuk is the technical term for any undefined but necessary symbol in writing Hebrew. Being a leader is about being the chipchuk, or the apostrophe, or the symbol of holding the kehila, the people of a congregation, together with the kedusha, the sacred task before them. May all who pledge themselves to be leaders of congregations be the strongest of glue that holds the community and the sacred together at all times. Shabbat Shalom.
Yehi Ratzon.